So I'm Howard Kaufman. I want to thank you all for being here. So for those of you who might not know, I think everybody probably is aware that cancer therapy has been really transformed by some of the advances in tumor immunology, most notably by immune checkpoint inhibition. And in fact, this year, Jim Allison and Tasuku Honjo received the Nobel Prize for their advances in targeting both CTLA-4 and PD-1. And so this morning, we actually have a group of experts who are representing a number of different tumor sites, because it's a very unique thing in that PD-1 in particular is a single target that seems to be active in many different tumors. And because of these advances that we've been seeing, I think it actually is going to impact surgical management of patients. And so I think being aware of what's going on is really important. So I'm going to start this off by a recent study that I was involved with in a fairly rare disease called Merkel cell carcinoma. But it's actually taught us some interesting things, I think, about the biology of cancer and the immune system, which hopefully you will take from this. By way of disclosure, I do work at Replimune part-time, although I won't be talking about any of that today. So Merkel cell carcinoma is a rare but fairly aggressive form of skin cancer that is associated with very poor survival once it develops metastatic potential. The risk factors for Merkel cell are ultraviolet light exposure. It tends to occur in elderly individuals, and it is associated with immune suppression. The cell of origin of the Merkel cell is somewhat debated, so we're not quite sure what it really arises from, but these often present with kind of pinkish, fleshy kind of nodules and are often misdiagnosed initially. Merkel cell is very sensitive to chemotherapy, but long-term responses to chemotherapy really do not occur. And essentially, as of 2 years ago, there was really no FDA-approved therapy for this disease in the advanced setting. Now, one of the interesting things about this cancer is it is associated with a virus, and that virus is called the Merkel cell polyomavirus. And this virus is ubiquitous in nature. It's probably a lot of people probably have this virus in them. And upon UV exposure, this virus can integrate into the host genome, where it can actually stay quiet for a long period of time. However, with repeated UV exposure, the virus can reactivate and encodes a T antigen, which then can bind to the RB gene in the cell and can actually begin the process of malignant transformation and then helps the tumor to progress. In general, if you look at the literature, somewhere between 50 to 80% of patients with Merkel cell will have an identified polyomavirus as part of their tumor. Now, one of the interesting things that was reported a few years ago was that nearly 100% of Merkel cell carcinomas, if you did biopsies, were expressing PD-L1. This was often not on the Merkel cell itself, but was often within the tumor microenvironment, often present on macrophages and other infiltrating immune cells. But nonetheless, it suggested that PD-L1 was going to be present in many of these cancers. And this is important because this opens the world of using anti-PD-1 or anti-PD-L1 agents. And again, if you're not familiar with this, PD-1, which stands for programmed cell death 1, is a marker on T cells. And for many years, immunologists used this as a marker of exhaustion. So when a T cell gets activated, PD-1 will get upregulated, and when it encounters its ligands, which are the PD-L1 and PD-L2, this actually gives a signal to the T cell to shut down. So this is a regulatory mechanism that really prevents overactivation of T cell responses. The problem is that cancers have utilized this mechanism by upregulating PD-L1, and this gives them a way to really eliminate any circulating T cells that might come in contact with the tumor cell. So when you have an anti-PD-1 or anti-PD-L1 agent, it really blocks that interaction. Oops. And this then allows the T cell to stay active, to continue to proliferate, and can then potentially eradicate the cancer. And in fact, this concept has now been well established, and this is data I borrowed from my colleague David Kaufman at Merck. And PD-1 or PD-L1s have now been approved in almost 30 different types of cancer. So again, very unusual that one drug, one target is being active in all these different cancers. And there are probably many more that are still under active study with either monotherapy agents or combinations. So I'm going to tell you about one called avelumab that I worked with. This is a a antibody that targets the PD-L1 ligand. It's an IgG1 monoclonal antibody, so it binds directly to PD-L1, and it also can elicit ADCC activity, at least in vitro studies, because of the IgG1 haplotype. The half-life of the antibody is about 4 days, and it's now demonstrated anti-tumor activity in several different cancers and actually has achieved FDA approval in Merkel cell carcinoma as well as in bladder cancer. So in order to study this, we designed a trial which was called the Javelin-Merkel 200 study. This was really designed as a phase two single-arm study for patients who had metastatic or unresectable Merkel cell carcinoma and had already failed at least one prior chemotherapy regimen. Patients needed to be immune competent, and although we measured PD-L1 expression and the presence of Merkel cell polyoma virus, the presence of these markers was not required for the study. The drug is given, in this study, was given as a 10 milligram per kilogram IV infusion every 2 weeks. Currently, there's been a change, so it'll be an 800 milligram flat dose for this agent. And the main primary endpoint of this study was the best objective response as determined by standard RECIST criteria seen by an independent review committee. And other secondary endpoints included progression-free and overall survival as well as safety. Ultimately, this became the largest Merkel cell trial ever conducted, with 125 patients enrolling and 88 patients meeting the full eligibility criteria and went into treatment. These are the patient characteristics, which were what you might expect. Generally, these are older patients, so 75% of these patients were over the age of 65, 74% were men. And importantly in this, the tumor Merkel cell polyoma virus status, as expected, was present in about 52% of the patients. And we looked at PD-L1 expression, and it could only be detected in about 66%, but about 16% of the patients did not have either sufficient sample or the assay was insufficient to determine whether it was present, so only about 18% were negative. Importantly, the trial first read out at a median of 6 months of follow-up, and the overall objective response rate was 31.8%, which actually included 9% complete response rate. The median time to response in this study was about 6 weeks, so this was a very dramatic response. And with further follow-up, we reported at 1 year, two patients actually who had been stable went on to go into complete response, and so the final objective response rate was up to 33%. These responses appear to be quite durable, with 93% still in response at 6 months and 74% still in response at 1 year. This is a waterfall plot on the left showing the regression of tumor in patients. And the red is showing patients who had one previous line of therapy, and the blue is showing patients who had two or more previous treatments. And the spider plots on the right are there because I wanted to show you that you can see that this regression occurs very quickly, usually within 1 to 2 months, and that the tail of this curve of this regression shows you the durability, which we like to see with immunotherapies. This is a swimmer's plot, and again, these triangles over here are showing you when patients are responding, and you can see that most of these responses occurred at the very first scan, which was done at 6 weeks. And so some of these were really very dramatic, and many of these responses you can see with the blue arrows on the end are ongoing. Now, in 2016, there was a series of single-arm studies that reported a median progression-free survival of about 2 months with various chemotherapy regimens. These are shown here. And this was the progression-free survival in our trial. So although the median progression-free survival was only 2.7 months, what you can see is the real importance of this therapy is the tail of the curve, which is showing that there are a number of patients who are getting very long-term benefit. And this is the overall survival at the present time. So the median is 12.9 months, but you can see that we're beginning to see this tail, and I think it will be important to really report the data at 3 years and 5 years, which is the time that we really need to see the full impact of this therapy. Now, we did look at some subsets to see if there was anything that might make a difference with response, and there were nothing that really rose to high statistical significance, but there were a few trends that are worth mentioning. So first of all, the number of prior therapies does seem to make a difference. So if you look at the patients who had only one prior therapy, their response rate was 40% compared to 22% in those that had two or more prior therapies. So this does suggest that earlier exposure to this agent might be better. Likewise, disease burden made a bit of a difference. So again, just adding up the disease burden in all the patients and coming up with a 50 percentile, those who were below that had a 41% response rate compared to 26% in those that had higher tumor burdens. Again, consistent with the concept that earlier exposure might be better. Interestingly, when we looked at PD-L1 expression, there really was no statistical difference, although, again, slightly higher rate if you were positive than negative, 36 compared to 18%. And the Merkel cell polyoma virus status really had absolutely no impact at all. So what's the safety profile of this? So unlike some of the other anti-PD-1s, this is actually fairly well tolerated. The main side effect that we saw was low-grade fatigue and infusion site reactions. These could generally be managed by pre-medication or decreasing the rate of the infusion. Now, with some of the other anti-PD-1s, immune-related adverse events have been reported to occur, and those did occur with avelumab, but they occurred at a much lower incidence, and most of these were generally related to thyroid issues. Both hypo and hyperthyroidism were seen. And only two patients actually needed to come off therapy for a grade 3 or greater adverse event. So we have begun the trial of looking at what happens if you use avelumab in the first line as opposed to the second line setting. And so this is some very preliminary data that we just published about 2 months ago in JAMA Oncology. And what it shows is that at a median of 3 months of follow-up, the initial response rate was 62%, up from 33% in second line. And at 6 months, that response rate actually looks even better at 71%. So this study is ongoing and is currently enrolling patients. And so hopefully this will give us a better idea of the true impact that this therapy might have for this disease. Pembrolizumab, which is an anti-PD-1 agent, has also been tested in Merkel cell carcinoma. And after the first 25 patients were enrolled, a paper was published in the New England Journal, again, consistent with our findings of a fairly significant response rate. In this trial, there was about a 50% response rate, although these patients were treatment naive. And you can see, again, the waterfall and spider plots, very consistent with what we saw with anti-PD-L1. So it turns out that Merkel cell is particularly sensitive to immunotherapy, which is a good thing. And if you haven't seen this, this is a graph that was published in the New England Journal by the group at Johns Hopkins, which actually looked at the mutation burden and the response rate. And so a general theme that's been emerging from oncology is that the higher the mutation burden, the higher the likelihood of response to these tumors. So you can see that things like melanoma are up here, lung cancer is actually pretty high, and when you get down to things like pancreatic cancer and sarcoma, uveal melanoma, they have very low mutation burdens and they have not responded very well. And you can see that Merkel cell is clearly an outlier, so it actually does much better than it should based on the mutation burden. And so a closer analysis of that was done by my colleagues in Seattle, led by Paul Niem, and they published this, and they looked at the mutation burden in Merkel cell. And one of the interesting things is this is a graph of a mutation burden across a wide range of different cancers. And the Merkel cells actually fall into two distinct categories. So there was a group of patients who actually had the single highest mutation burden, that was seen. So this was higher than any other cancer. This was higher than melanoma, higher than lung cancer. And these were associated with a lot of UV damage. So these are likely UV-driven type patients. However, there was another subset of Merkel cell patients who actually had extremely low mutation burdens. They were actually at the other extreme, actually lower than any other cancer that was reported. This is data up out of the TCGA database, I believe. When they actually then took a look at PD-L1 expression and the presence of Merkel cell polyoma virus, a very interesting pattern emerged, and that was that the patients who had a low mutation burden were much more likely to have the presence of the Merkel cell polyoma virus, and those patients who had a high mutation burden were more likely to be virus negative. PD-L1 expression, however, was more likely linked to the high mutation burden, which has been reported in melanoma and lung cancer and several others. And so this suggested that while Merkel cell as a whole was responsive and that we could not use PD-L1 expression or mutation burden as a biomarker to identify which patients might respond, it does lead to the hypothesis that there might be two different mechanisms at play, one that might be mediated by the virus, suggesting that other viral-mediated cancers might be potentially sensitive to immunotherapy with checkpoint blockade. And I think you're going to hear from our next two presenters today that that actually turns out to be probably a correct hypothesis. And again, this is just data showing that the Merkel cell polyoma virus positive and negative tumors, looking at the number of neoantigens. And in fact, in the viral negative, this is the high mutation burden. This is where you see the emergence of neoantigens, which again is a good correlate. And the probable explanation for the response rate in the polyomavirus positive patients is that the virus itself might be contributing to the immune response. So to conclude, Merkel cell carcinoma appears to be a tumor that's very sensitive to PD-1 and PD-L1 checkpoint blockade. Avelumab was the first anti-PD-L1 approved and actually the only drug approved now for treating Merkel cell carcinoma. The main side effects we see are fatigue and infusion-like reactions, but immune-related adverse events can occur, and patients probably need to be monitored for those. Although there is no statistical correlation between response and PD-L1 expression or Merkel cell polyoma virus status, this kind of dual pattern has emerged, suggesting that the presence of a high mutation burden or PD-L1 expression or the presence of the virus are both associated with good responses. So the other place that this is going is into the adjuvant setting, and those studies are being designed and should be started shortly. And as I've mentioned, I think this has implications for other viral-associated cancers, as we'll hear about momentarily. I'd just like to thank all the patients and families that participated in our study, Dr. Zhen Su at Merck KGaA at EMD Serono, who sponsored the trial, and my new family at Mass General, my new boss, Ken Tanabe, who's right here next to me and my co-moderator today. So thank you very much.